Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We have an extended dance mix segment today as we get you ready for Cubs baseball. It's the 4th game of the series against the Cardinals. It's Shohei Minaga on the mound. So that's why I feel confident that I can read this text message that was sent to us. Asked Google if Wiz operates in the U.S. Quote, Wiz was denied a foreign air carrier permit by the Department of Transportation to fly the United States as a safety recommendation.
Oh, no!
That seems not promising.
Wiz Air might be an unserious airline. Might be.
It's perfect for bears, too. Perfect.
It's perfect for me. I love economical travel, and I understand that people might think somebody stole their phone. Whatever. Let's get to 5 on it.
5 on
number one.
Where would the Cubs be without pitcher Matthew Boyd?
I would venture to say that they'd still be in first place, but not by as much as they are now.
Well, they're not in first place by much.
Could be a half game, maybe a game. Remember, they're 8-8 in Matthew Boyd's starts. So even though he's pitched with a sub-3 ERA and a whip just over 1.1, I think, and his WAR is 1.7 at this point. So we're halhalfway through the season, basically.
They're 2.5 games ahead of the Brewers, the Cubs.
Yeah, I think they'd still be in first place.
I don't know, maybe if it's where would the Cubs be? It's where would I be? I would be panicking. With no Shohei Minaga on the mound until today.
Depends on who that pitcher is, though, instead of Matthew Boyd.
With no Justin Steele. With Jameson Taillon now giving up 21 home runs and 75 fewer innings than it took him last year. 75 is a significant amount. I would be worried. But, indeed, we had a de facto stopper. We had a responsible Matt Boyd. Be responsible. Do his job.
And now you got a Shohei Minaga. Everything's cool. Look. Even if they were to lose this game today that Shota is pitching, as long as he is healthy at the end of the game, I think you can feel good about where the Cubs are on the whole. I know that's hard for people to wrap their heads around because it's what have you done for me lately, number one. And it's also the understanding that after today's game is literally the halfway point of the season. This is game number 81 today.
Wow. It's halftime.
I feel like we should do some halfway point grades or something when we all are together again. That's a good project for next week.
Wednesday, is that when we're all together again?
Are you not here Tuesday?
No, I am, but Grody will be here Wednesday, I think.
We'll do it Wednesday.
Okay.
We'll do it Wednesday.
Am I getting thumbs up? Is that confirmed? Grody's here Wednesday, or am I lying to myself?
We're looking at the schedule.
Yeah.
Did Grody take a Wizz Air flight with Bears too?
We're going to move it to... We'll talk after the show.
Oh, no. Maybe we do it on Tuesday with us, and then Grody can give us his grades at some point later in time.
Yeah, they'd be wrong anyway, because he'd just be like, the Cubs are going to win the division. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Grody's overly optimistic. That's what I think.
If we were to do an exercise, though, if we were to rank the Cubs players this year, I think it's PCA, maybe Kyle Tucker. Where's Matthew Boyd on that list?
Oh, Matthew Boyd's up there for me.
Matthew Boyd's definitely top 7. I'm trying to...
PCA and Kyle Tucker. I'm going to say pitching-wise, I'd still put Shota even there, even though he's injured. I'd still put him in there.
Wait. Are we saying top performers so far this season?
No. I mean, like, well, maybe you're just your top 5 for, like, talent.
I was going to say for this year. Like, performers this year.
Like, what they've done so far through 80 games for the Cubs.
Okay. PCA... Kyle Tucker, I'd put Matt Boyd in there because of his numbers, because of his performance. I would put one of the Kel Pomflexes in there.
It'd probably be Pom.
Just based on the ERA alone, that kind of stands alone. I mean, I'd like to put Porter Hodge and Seiya Suzuki in there.
I think Seiya's above.
Shohei Minaga I'd like to put in there, but yeah, that would be my crew.
I think I have Say at number three.
I have a player I think we need to give some more love to. Nico Horner has just been a badass all year. Unbelievable defensively. He just always finds a way to get hits. Just got his first home run. I love watching Nico Horner play.
Well, you can love watching him, but when we actually look at his actual total value, because there's more than just the glove, there's also the bat, I would have to say that he is below everyone that we've mentioned so far. Not far behind, but below.
Right, but relative to other second basemen, too, you know, when he was at last check leading the league in second baseman defensive run save, for example, like that's major.
Yeah, I just think the lack of OBP slug, OPS.
We love slug on this show.
Being below 700 with the on base plus the slug,
I'd love me a scrappy second baseman. It's like Placido Polanco, Nico Horner. Those are players I just love. I don't know why.
Placido Polanco has a little more slug in his bat than Nico Horner.
That's true, but I like it. I love my scrappy second baseman because that's what I was, a scrappy second baseman.
Oh, this is about projecting. Yeah, I got it.
Struck out a lot.
Number
two. Rank these NL Central young pitchers 1 through 4 on who you'd rather have on your team. You have Paul Skenes, Jacob Mizorowski, Cade Horton, and Chase Burns. Rank those 1 through 4.
Number one to me is still Paul Skenes. Okay, I know he's been hit a couple times, but the numbers speak for themselves. My goodness, his season last year was enough for me to be happy about him. I'd put him on the Cubs or whatever team that I want. So he's my number one. Number two is Mizorowski. His slider's 96 miles an hour. Do I need to say more? Number three is Chase Burns because of the upside there. He had a fabulous outing to start. He was drafted 2nd overall, so he's in it for me. And then it's Cade Horton. But these are great names to be a part of. Is anybody really mad if you're the 4th guy in that list?
Listen, to your point, Layla, no one's mad at having any of these guys.
Excellent company.
But Paul Skenes, 5.9 on the WAR last year. The man is 4-7 this year and leads the league with a 2.12 ERA, leads the league with a 198 ERA plus, leads the league with a 0.906 whip, leads the league only giving up 5.7 hits per nine, leads the league only giving up 0.4 home runs per nine. By the way, the Cubs hit 3 home runs off that man in 1 game. I just want to point that
out. And that's what you hold on to if you're a team facing Paul Skenes. It's like, hey, remember that one time?
And so that's the top. That's the creme de la creme. Now, up next for me is Mizorowski because the stuff is the stuff. Next, it's Chase Burns, but not by much. It's actually a tie. Actually, you don't want me.
We're not doing ties.
It's Cade Horton, then Chase Burns, because Chase Burns, I have not seen enough of Chase Burns to be like, you're legit.
I'm in NBA draft potential mode, and that's why I was like, Chase Burns over Cade Horton.
But Cade Horton, I like what Cade Horton has done. So that's my ranking.
Okay, so we have some questions about our last discussion. 847, please explain why PCA is above Tucker. I don't know that he is. We were just naming people randomly in the group. I wasn't there yet to say who's 1 through 5 for me.
So. I'll tell you why PCA is above Kyle Tucker. Because of what he's done both
fielding,
where it's like PCA, and then there's a supreme drop-off in terms of just on the Cubs roster, how good the fielding has been relative to other people who play that position around the league. That's why. Because, yes, Kyle Tucker gets on base a whole lot more. Always has that on-base percentage around 400. He slugs over 500. So, automatically, you have a 900 OPS player. But Pete Crow Armstrong, I think, with the way he plays center field, minus forgetting how many outs there are on occasion, which can happen to anyone, as Craig Counsell explained on Spiegel and Holmes just 2 days ago. No, that was yesterday, right?
That was yesterday.
Yeah, that was yesterday. I just think PCA's impact has been so electric.
Right.
Kyle Tucker's impact has been so steadying. I think those are two different things. Wow factor.
And then we have Poor Take Thursday, 229. Unbelievable! 5 exclamation points. Not any of the catchers! All caps for question marks. The Cubs catchers combined are about as equal to Big Dumper, and he's an MVP candidate. No! No, they are not!
Wait, did he just say
Reese McGuire was in Triple A. He got called up Miguel Amaya isn't catching right now. Neither one of them combined are equal to Cal Raleigh, who is only challenged by Aaron Judge for the MVP right now in baseball.
I like Aaron Jones as like a pretend, you know, made up video game player. I think
Aaron Jones.
Yeah, the running back for the Vikings.
It's a combination of Adam Judge and Aaron and or Aaron. Why am I doing this to my brain? It's a combination of Aaron Judge and Adam Jones.
I liked Adam
like
Jones.
Like, what if it's the bat, of Aaron Judge and the fielding of Adam Jones?
Yes.
That would be an amazing player. But the point is, Cal Raleigh is only being challenged by a guy who's having perhaps one of the best three-year runs offensively we've seen in decades. So, no, they are not.
Just to further that point that you that you just made.
Like, do math.
The Mariners at the catcher spot. 30 home runs, 66 RBIs. The Cubs, all they're catching, 17 home runs, 56 RBI. OPS for the Cubs, I will give credit where credit is due. It is the fourth best in baseball at 825, the OPS on base plus slugging. 1,006 for the Mariners.
Thank you. What was Cal Raleigh's OPS this weekend?
And we know who the best defensive catcher in baseball is right now. Oh, yeah. It's the guy who manages arguably the best pitching staff in baseball. Cal Raleigh.
Oh, my word. Also, yes, good question. Northside 5 on Twitch. What about Arson Judge? An important person to note in the Aaron Judge,
on fire.
Adam Jones. Yes. Arson Judge. Never forget.
My bad. I'm bad, guys. I did not mean gee whiz earlier. I just want to point that out.
Yes,
all right,
did.
This is 5 on It with Raheemy and Harris. Let's keep it moving.
Number 3.
White Sox outfielder Luis Robert Jr. left Wednesday's game against the Diamondbacks with left hamstring tightness. He's being further evaluated. How much does this hurt Robert Jr.'s trade value?
Okay, I did think about this because everybody was like, oh no, he left the game early yesterday. Is it Hugwatch? They say it's a seller's market. Jed Hoyer will be the first to tell you that. Do I think that the White Sox can sell Luis Robert? They're going to have to understand that his current value is not what it was previously. Yesterday's price is not today's price, but in this case, it's probably downward from what you originally wanted to trade him for. That said, I don't think yesterday affected anything regarding his draft stock in particular.
I like Luis Robert Jr. I miss the 38 home run season, the all-star season, if you will.
We all do.
But this hamstring news is bad because, one, it's a hamstring. Hamstrings take time to heal. Speed is one of the best tools that this man has. So I think it hurts his value, and that's hard to say because his value was already not great. I just hope he can come back in time to take a mental rest, and maybe that helps on a reset level, his approach at the plate.
The change bat speeds
down. Yeah.
I mean, think about what protection in the lineup would do for him. Not just Miguel Vargas.
Yeah, he needs help. And to the Texters who are talking about certain things like Michael Bush, yes. And 217, my God, Marshall.
Exclamation point, 3 dots.
Was it, how many, I don't know, is that two? That's two
know,
exclamation points, yeah. Quit going strictly on those stupid new analytics that nobody can understand. By nobody, you mean you can't understand.
Slugging percentage is stupid new analytics, guys.
And open your eyes. Nico Hoerner is a great all-around ball player. You know how we know he's a great all-around ball player? Because we can say things like, look at your eyes and how good he is. Oh, wait. There's a metric for that. Defensive run saved. He's number one in the major leagues.
That's a stupid
at second base.
That
so like,
can understand.
Yes, that was it. Slugging percentage is not analytics. Slugging percentage is dividing the number of plate appearances by the bases, the total bases. This is not hard. This is not even difficult math. This is not even ERA level. This is, come on, man, come on.
So going back to the Luis Robert Jr. thing. What, like, how much do you think you could actually get for him right now? Like, what is the cost? Are you getting a top prospect from a team? Are you getting an MLB-ready player?
No.
Like, what are you exactly getting from him?
I don't think you're getting a top prospect, no. I think the goal would be, typically, I like a like-for-like. You know, if you trade pitching, you need to get pitching, but I always think you need to get pitching. So I'm good with getting somebody who might be, like, a couple years down the line.
Low level, A.
Yeah.
A ball. Like, a lot. But
somebody projected as a starter, because I always say you can never have too much pitching. And that's why I'm mad about the trade that involved Miguel Vargas and Michael Kopech and Eric Fetty. They should have gotten a pitcher in that deal.
I will say this about the starting thing. You can always turn a starter into a reliever. It's real hard to turn a guy who's been deemed a reliever in the minor leagues into a starter.
Indeed.
So, yeah.
Number four.
What is the identity of the Chicago Bulls organization?
This is a very existential question and kind of unrealistic to squeeze it into a five-on-it segment, but since we have the extended time
we
here,
do.
I don't think they know. And I think because of that, we don't know. And I think there's no better example than what we heard from Mark Eversley. Some teams, the identity is we are going to tank and tank hard to try to get out of this and get somebody who we think is a guaranteed prospect. That is not the case. They've said they want to promote from within. They say they want to develop on their own. It is very difficult to do that.
Layla, is this about the overall identity of the organization or the overall identity of how on the basketball side they are doing things? Which one? Because if it's a bigger picture thing, I have two words, two very specific words to describe the identity of the Bulls. If it is a strictly basketball and how they play thing, I have another different description. So which, or do you want both? What do you want? Tell me which one you want.
See how you asked me that?
Yes.
That's also kind of where I'm at. We don't know.
I think we do know, though, depending on which question, which one we're trying to describe. So I'll start with the micro and build out to the macro. How
younger and more athletic. Oh, no, that was Fred Hoiberg's team. And well, then they got like Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade.
So I ask this because, like, you look at a team like Miami Heat, so clear what their identity is. We're going to outwork you. We have the Heat culture. You look at the Spurs and what their identity is, a whole organization. We love fundamentals. We're going to pass the rock. You look at L.A. even for a sec. If you go to the Lakers, we have stars. That's our identity. What the hell is the identity of Chicago Bulls? I don't know. If I look at that team, what can I hang my hat on? Like, that is what that organization is all about.
So my friend the other day texted me. She's like, hey, I just want to let you know, this is a really good movie. I finally watched Gladiator for the first time. And I was like, wait, you mean Gladiator 2? She's like, no, the original Gladiator. I was like, well, why did you not watch that movie until just now? She's like, I was on a plane. It was one of the offerings. I watched it. I say all that to say, are you not entertained? The two words I would use to describe the Bulls and their identity is coined by a former co-host of ours, Dan Bernstein.
Yes.
Dinner theater. It is excellent dinner theater, but that's what it is. It is dinner theater. We are going to put butts in the seats. You will be entertained. We might win, we might lose, but it will be a thrilling time.
Are you not entertained?
Yes. That's what it is. Now,
the finals broke my brain. I don't know how to describe any other teams anymore.
No. But otherwise, if you're just talking about strictly on the court, what are they trying to do? We are going to run until we get outrun. And that has been the case for these Chicago Bulls under Billy Donovan playing the way he would like to play post DeMar DeRozan.
So they are younger and more athletic.
Yeah.
And I'm not even being sarcastic.
No, I'm being serious. We're going to run until we get outrun.
So it only took them 9 years, but they got there. No, it's not that simple or funny. They are younger and more athletic, though. They are.
As now.
Like Dan said, tough out. My ass.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Number five.
Which current sports figure from Maine is more influential? The number one overall pick in the NBA draft, Cooper Flagg, or Bill Belichick's girlfriend Jordan Hudson, who Bill Belichick did reveal handles some of his business dealings, but let's be clear about that, outside of North Carolina football. So the question is, which is the more influential Maine sports figure?
Or is it still the lobster market, which in Maine is still tremendous, even with illegal fishing and people overfarming it? I still think it's probably Jordan Hudson. Cooper Flagg made a good case yesterday, and you saw that warm, fuzzy Marty Smith, this is what life is like in a small town in Maine piece that he did from the watch party. Cute. I see what you did there. But no, We all knew Cooper Flagg was going first overall. We knew it for 1.5 million years, plus 2 times infinity. Jordan Hudson, though, is controlling a man who we all thought controlled the NFL for many years. And for that, I am baffled and intrigued. It is still Jordan Hudson. We don't even know if Bill Belichick is actually going to coach North Carolina this season because of her.
I believe that Jordan Hudson is definitely more influential right now than Cooper Flagg. Not to say that that won't change. As we are discussing here on 5 on It, this is why we have these questions, because they can be existential or not.
They're not the biggest questions of the day. They're just things we ponder.
And so I think Jordan Hudson, who's coming out of anonymity and knowing she's a pageant, wannabe pageant queen.
I mean, she competed in the pageant. She just didn't win.
Yeah, that's why she's a wannabe pageant queen. She didn't get to be the queen.
Dang, that's cold.
It's the truth. It's an objective fact. She is a want-to-be pageant queen. She tried. She failed. And now we'll see what she does with her real estate holdings and everything else. And she does have quite influence over one of the most powerful men in football to this day in Bill Belichick. It's her. It's Jordan Hudson. And that could change, but right now, it's definitely Jordan Hudson.
Gentlemen, your thoughts?
I mean, it's Jordan Hudson. If we talk about actual influencer being a puppet master to someone, it's definitely her. But if we talk about like who's going to get talked more and more in a long span of time, it's definitely Cooper Flagg. He may be the face of the NBA within the next 10 years.
Stop.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Jordan Hudson being the one here, the answer here, because Cooper Flagg is just getting on, you know, onto the start of his NBA journey. And sure, players of this era, the NIL era, do have much more power than players entering the NBA for the rookie season in the past. But it is, for all the reasons you guys laid out, Jordan Hudson, who is in the driver's seat, and Bill Belichick's there in the passenger seat, and she's got all the power, and she's been wielding it. We've heard the stories. There's been a lot of things documented about the way the decisions she's made to impact Bill Belichick's career. So it's Jordan Hudson.
She changed his entire character arc for me. I thought I knew who that man was. I'm pretty sure we all thought we knew who he was.
He released a book because it was her idea.
Gotta make that money. Mortgage payments don't pay themselves. Gotta make that money. Follow up to what Robbie said, though. See, this is my issue with you, Robbie. You're so quick to jump the gun. Face of the NBA?
I said within 10 years.
Man, you like Giddy? You like Cooper Flagg? Interesting.
I knew exactly where you're going with that. I know.
So Wimby doesn't exist in this world.
You like scrappy second baseman.
Wimby doesn't exist anymore.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander wouldn't still be playing.
Who gets more MVPs? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Cooper Flagg?
Well, I think that Shai is going to be in more championship situations because of how that roster is built, so I would have to say SGA, but I would say Cooper Flagg has this kind of young phenom personality to him. He's a big that can score multiple different ways. I think Cooper Flagg also has a following because he did go to Duke. He has that face as well from the college basketball fan, so that's why I say Cooper Flagg. I think a lot of people are interested about him.
Cooper Flagg?
You know who is also first overall and went to Duke and doesn't and is kind of strange? Paolo Banchero.
He also plays in a small market. He didn't have the Ace Bailey papers back when he played.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, when you think about, like, I'm always like, oh, yeah, Paolo Banchero went to Duke. Like, it's just one of those things that's like the afterthought where Cooper Flagg and Duke are synonymous to me.
And Banchero's rookie of the year, right? He's
had a great career so far.
A very quiet career. But it could change now that Desmond's down there with him.
I know. This Orlando team is really interesting.
More MVPs, Cooper Flagg or Wimby?
Wimby.
Okay, good. Okay, no, that gets us back on track. So yeah, we could take him when he goes off the rails and put him right back on the train tracks and hit the button.
So
and make
after
a little
we build
train
the PCA
around
statue and after we have the Josh Giddey statue, what my point is that Cooper Flagg may be the face of the NBA. But my point is I think Wemby will be the face. But I'm saying I could live in a world where Cooper Flagg is the face.
I think all of our takes fly Wiz Air.
That's fair.
Mine definitely
today
do.
I love that you think of the PCA statue, and it's all my hopes as a Cubs fan that there will one day be a PCA statue. But then you went and said the Giddey statue, Robbie. Come on.
Now here.
There's only one statue at the United Center that is of a Chicago Bull.
So my point about Josh Giddey, he makes everyone around him better. If we're trying to have the Bulls, like, you know, trade away these assets and learn how to be good and young, well, don't you want a point guard with a young core that knows how to make everyone better if you're trying to develop? So that's why I would pay him for the next couple of years.
Would you take Tyrese Halliburton now or Josh Giddey?
Tyrese Halliburton, obviously.
We're just checking your sanity.
But it's close.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
One had playoff minutes.
Oh, man. Sometimes you have to check Robbie to see where his whole mindset is.
On the Twitch, Robbie and Giddey sitting in a tree.
Does he know how much you love him? I feel like at this point it might have crossed his path.
Oh, if I met Josh Giddey, I talk way too much, Giddey. My bad.
It's okay.
No, we all have our people, you know? We all do.
Back to this game, though, as we get you ready for Cubs-Cardinals right here on 670 The Score coming up in just a few minutes, actually. Layla.
Yes.
If they lose this game, so then they've dropped 3 out of 4 to the Cardinals.
Ooh.
Are you thinking, okay, as long as they take 2 or 3 from the Astros, it's a good road trip, or is the road trip a failure because they lost 3 out of 4?
Yeah, I mean, when you extrapolate that record and you throw in, say, the series where they only took 1 from Seattle, and you consider the 10-game clip at that point, that's where I start to get concerned. Like we said, nobody's winning a trophy for leading the Central Division on June 26th. Nobody's saying that. But this was not the time where you were supposed to soften as a team.
I don't think they've softened. I think the pitching staff has had issues. I think they're working on getting some ways to fix the pitching staff. My point is, even if they drop 3 or 4 to the Cardinals, the best part about this schedule leading into the All-Star break is, when you say on to the next series is truly a proving ground. Let's say they lose 3 or 4 to the Cardinals and the next opponent was the Pittsburgh Pirates. You would gather not much from that if they took 2 out of 3. But if they lose this series and then take 2 out of 3 from the Houston Astros, that you're like, okay, you just had a rough spot. You're still good.
Which, by the way, the Astros are leading their division by 5.5 games over Seattle. So, yeah, you would be encouraged by that for sure. Cubs, you know, they're only, for all the stress that we have had about the team, they're still even over their last 10 games at 5-5. But when you consider the pattern of what's emerged, all of this, I think, gets changed by whatever you see out of Shota Imanaga today. That's kind of the point here, is you get your ace back, and you've got to figure out how confident you are in him. Maybe not today, but at least knowing that he's going to be limited, that he's going to be better for tomorrow, next time he starts.
I feel great about who they have available in the bullpen for a game like today, knowing that Shota is going to be facing temperatures up to 97 degrees with high humidity at Busch.
That's a heat index of at least like 103.
It's going to be in the triple digits.
Yeah.
But here's what gives me even more kind of, let's zoom out a little bit and be like, all right, things aren't going as well as you would like, but let's be real. They're 2.5 games out from having the best record in all of baseball, currently tied between the Detroit Tigers and the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's all good, people. It's all good.
You sound like Grody now.
No. I'm not saying they're winning anything. I'm just saying they're in a good place. They're in a comfortable place.
I think also, it's been said before this week, but it stands to be repeated. The Central Division is better than you may have thought it was. The Brewers didn't fall back as much.
I'm going to repeat this one more time. Actually, that's a lie. I'm going to repeat this several times. I don't believe that the NL West is getting 3 teams into the playoffs. By doing that math, I believe the window is open for a second National League Central team to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I know you've said that.
But I'm saying, I just want to reemphasize.
And I was going to say that, again, I think you still have to win the division here to win the playoffs. But however, I think that the division overall is not as bad as teams either thought or hoped it would be.
I think the other point, though, is the Cubs can't afford to be a wild card team. The Cubs need to win the division.
I don't think a wild card comes out of the Central, and I've said it before. I know we had that conversation. I know you were upset by what I just said, but
I'm not upset.
The conclusion to my thought was that overall, I think teams in the division hope that it would be a little more cut and dried as to who the leaders would be. And I feel like perhaps other teams in the division thought that they might have a better shot at it. Brewers seem to be a little more self-aware because they had injuries. But counting them out was a fool's errand.
Yes, I agree with that. Let's give them the lineup one more time. How about that before we get out of here?
I like it.
Okay. Cubs, Shota Imanaga for the first time in over 6 weeks.
What was all that 15-day injured list talk?
Well, wasn't it originally 3 to 4 weeks with the hamstring?
It's never like what you a think month. The timeline is, and if you've gotten to the 60-day, well, we know what's happening.
Well, yeah, if you're going to the 60-day, I'm not even looking for you anytime soon.
Correct.
Also, would love a Javier Assad update any day now. Would love one of those.
That would be great. Yeah, that's, I know that that's probably something that's being asked about too, especially with Porter Hodge now being back.
It's just kind of weird that we haven't heard from Assad since he left that rehab start. So there's that. But back to the lineup. Ian Happ leading off, playing left field. Kyle Tucker playing designated hitter today. He's batting second. Seiya Suzuki will be the man in right field, batting third. Pete Crow Armstrong, he will bat cleanup. He will play in center. Dansby Swanson will break up the lefties by batting fifth and playing shortstop. Michael Bush, your first baseman, who probably doesn't get as much love as he should because he's had an outstanding season in his role, even though I think he should play more against lefties.
Agreed.
He's batting sixth. Carson Kelly, who's had a nice little tick up after having a slow few weeks, he's playing catcher. He will bat seventh. Nico Horner will bat eighth and play second base. And Matt Shaw, who we need to see more out of, is batting third and holding down the fort in the nine hole.
We're getting ready for Cubs baseball here on 670 The Score. So Raheemy and Harris are wrapping up in just a couple of minutes, but I think we have a little more time. I know I like you always do a good job of looking ahead to the schedule. And I think that that's an important part of this. But either way, the goal for today for me is simply how much are we going to see Imanaga throw and what are you seeing out of him against a Cardinals lineup that the Cubs were able to effectively shut down thanks to Matt Boyd yesterday.
You would like the baton to be handed off from the pitching staff from a day ago to him as a starter and just be like, all right, your turn, Shota, and just keep him down. You know, hitting is contagious, but also when bats get silenced, they can stay silent a long time if you got the right pitching mix.
Well, and additionally, just what do you need to do to salvage a split of this series today? And that's where I'm at with this. So it's simple, but when you're trying to consider what's at stake today, it is simply my eyes are on your starter. Give him some run support, but make sure you watch your starter go.
It's my favorite thing about 4-game series as opposed to the 3-game series. Man, that one game makes all the difference because a split is very different than dropping 3 out of 4.
Well, and additionally, it kind of shows you more about the team you're facing too. Like, you may have enough firepower and enough pitching for 2 out of 3, but that third game already told us some truths after that 8-0 Cubs win. We will get you ready for Cubs baseball. It is coming up next. Zach Zaidman, Ron Coomer, and of course, the great Pat Hughes coming to you from Busch Stadium. Thanks to Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer. Thanks to everybody who texted us. Thanks to everybody on Twitch and our producers too, Connor O'Donnell and also Brian Gertsch. Cubs baseball is next on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.